Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Back to Mutt, Maloney, and Bradford. Broadcasting live from Red Sox Winter Weekend at the MGM in Springfield on Sports Radio WEEI.
Our weekend, MGM Springfield. Great crowd has turned out here. The baseball amusement park that is Red Sox Winter Weekend.
Could I get like the Super Bowl, like Patriots?
Oh, my favorite. We're talking favorite drop of all time.
Oh, here we go. We're talking Red Sox.
There we go.
How's that? We're talking baseball here on WEEI. We're talking Patriots. It might have been like Lou in the background at that restaurant.
I was driving around. I heard that.
That was that
so
restaurant
awesome.
With the big turkey legs they had that day. Remember that?
Yeah.
It was an all-you-could-eat, all-you-could-drink afternoon. The staff had a day.
The staff?
No, it was only a group of us left. Not everyone stayed. It was only a handful of us still left there, and they gave us carte blanche, a snowstorm, drove us to the airport.
How much carte blanche did you drink?
Quite a bit. Lou's buddy Pedro Martinez will join us here in a second. That's why there's a big crowd of like 100 people in front of us. Not to watch us do a radio show because they know Pedro is going to be here.
Being in the house.
He is, I'm sure he's got some opinions on what's going on here in Major League Baseball because the reaction we get, I'm talking about on the air, I'm not sure about you guys, but it's like, oh, the pitchers they got retribution here. Just throw at a guy.
Yeah.
Throw inside. And I feel like when you played, that's how it went, right? If someone thought you were doing something the wrong way, you got buzzed, right?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it was just behind the, I don't know. That's why we didn't have great teams. I didn't remember stealing anything from second base. It was just too hard. You know, as infielders, whatever. Defensively, I get it, but offensively, it was tipping pitches. That's different. You know, I don't know. You know, the stealing signs at second base. I think they're so complicated. Once instant replay, everything came in the video. That's when they started honing in on it and getting everybody signs and getting out of control. But he knows all about it. I'm sure. I mean, how he would feel. If somebody knew every pitch coming.
You guys hear Alex Wood from the Dodgers. Yeah. The Dodgers had a couple of guys speak out. Alex Wood said, I'd rather face a guy on steroids than face a guy who knew every pitch I was throwing. I think he probably speaks for a lot of pitchers about what the advantage is. That's why I'm not knocking fires at all. We'll get into fires coming up later in the show. You know, people pushing back Mendoza. Phil Gardner called him a rat a couple days ago on the radio. I give him credit because he's going to be ostracized in the group of baseball players. But
I don't know. I don't know if he would. I mean, to me, it's like
there'll be a fraction of it, but I think that the majority of people understand that this had to be reeled in.
This is the steroid era.
It's Canseco's book.
Yeah, so I'm like, you know, the people who are clean during the steroid era, you think they're pissed off because the guys who took steroids are in trouble?
Well,
you know what I mean? You're like, about time. Clean it up.
Well, Lou, I mean,
maybe.
We know now what MLB was doing, which they knew a lot about this stuff, and they were trying to fix it on the fly.
Yeah.
They did a 10-second delay this year with a video room and everything else. So they knew this was going on. They thought that they could fix it on the fly, and then the reports come out, fires talks, and now you really, really have to do something. Which is, that's the good part about this, because it wasn't going to get fixed the way they were doing it. Do you agree or not?
No, I do agree, because, I mean, all you got to do is go back to even Drellick, Rosenthal, that implicated the Red Sox, that in 2018, Major League Baseball put people in these video rooms for the postseason.
Yeah, that's why I think the postseason, because I was there, you were there, you couldn't take two steps without seeing MLB
When the Red Sox and Astros played, all hell broke loose.
Yep.
Major League Baseball security team, they sent, thousands of people to every single game.
Danny Picard.
Why did they do that? Why did they put a guy in the video room, you know, during the postseason? Because they knew what was going on. They knew what was going on in 18. They knew what was going on in the playoffs. That's why they did that. That's why they sent people down to Houston or Fenway Park or whatever it was to make sure these teams weren't doing it anymore in the postseason when it matters the most. And then you just sat on it. You wouldn't have done anything. if Fires didn't come out with it.
No, you're trying to control it internally. Well, this is the thing. They thought they did things. They took Cameron's out of the center field. They put the things on the 10-second delay. They only one person watched the replay booth, and there was a lot of other stuff. All of which, by the way, they would not go. MLB would not go on the record and say this is what we're doing. Because I tried. Well, they said, this is not for public consumption. Tom Verducci had an article saying, this is what we think they have changed. So they changed off of what you're talking about, 2008, off the Danny Picard report. And we should give Danny credit. Absolutely. That happened in the middle of the Red Sox-Astros series. So off of that, they changed things in the offseason. But it was never fixing itself. Because you know what we had even after all those changes? We had guys looking in their hats every 2 seconds.
Yeah.
It wasn't changing.
Well, that was definitely paranoia at that time.
Well, and by the way, I don't think that's going to go away. But and I'll go back to what you said, Rob. Maybe you're right about this. Because I tried to look up what the penalty was for the Red Sox and the Apple Watch thing. And it was undisclosed fine. Undetermined fine nothing. Amount of money. So maybe it was nothing or not. But they the same thing there. They wouldn't tell you how bad they punished them.
Same thing with the Yankees.
And I think, looking back on it now, they did it because they didn't want people to think this was a big deal.
They screwed that up. They should have come down.
I agree with you.
And I remember at the time being like, dude, it's an Apple Watch. You know what I mean? What did they do here? You know,
what did John Farrell say? It's not an Apple Watch.
Yeah, and you
it's
were kind of, at the time, you didn't know what was going on with this live video room. You know, it was just like they're looking at stuff like I've always looked at in my career and gone into the dugout. I'm like, whatever. But at that point, if you sat there and said, really? You're going to take a first-round draft pick? You're going to take international signing bonus money? You're going to find this organization what? For an Apple Watch? Like, that would have, I think.
Absolutely. I totally
I mean, you would have
totally
been like,
agree.
whoa.
That's 2 years ago. And by the way, the Astros thought so little of that penalty, they kept doing it all 2017
just saying,
into the postseason.
People are like, well, it's, listen, they'd already banged you once with like a hefty, a fine? What is it, $250,000 to an organization? What is that? I don't know what the fine was.
And again. It'd
been nothing.
You're absolutely right. They missed the boat. It just kept escalating and escalating, and it would have kept escalating if not for Mike Fiers. So it comes back to what we were talking about, Mike Fiers, and Clevinger was the other day. You know, he talked about this.
That was good.
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be a lot of pitchers who are going to be coming out, and they take great offense, much like, by the way, the steroid era. You had guys, plenty of pitchers, on the record, off the record, talking about they got to crack down. These guys are ruining our stats and getting paid money for it. And it's the same sort of idea.
It's funny because people are saying that Fiers never, he benefited from there in Houston because they won. Well, they got wins and they won, but his ERA was awful and he sucked. And then went to the Oakland A's. These pitchers that were there in Houston, you're not under judge on wins anymore. You know, so his ERA got destroyed when he played for the Astros. And so he's in a spot now, and I'm sure a lot of our pitchers like this, where they're thinking, what would my numbers have been as a free agent or an arbitration if I didn't play 19 times a year in a ballpark where they had everything set up with, cans and whistling? I mean, how many guys are out of baseball now because, they had one or two appearances against the Astros, got buried, and that was it?
It does make a big difference. I didn't really hear Alex Wood, that comment about the steroids rather than knowing what's coming. We were talking about it the other day, and obviously, Fourier thinks he can do everything, right? Like, thinks he can play hockey and hit baseballs and everything. So the point is If I take somebody out there, like a college player, and say, here, Pedro throws you 10 fastballs. You know what I mean? By the 10th one, you're starting to make a little bit of contact, and you're just cheating, you're guessing. Then he says, I'm going to throw you 10 curveballs, and I'm going to throw you 10 changeups. And you might, after a while, after 30 of them, be like, hey, I just hit his changeup. You know what's coming. And then he looks at you and says, okay, now I'm not going to tell you what's coming. Okay, now it's over. Now it's over because the ball at your head, you think it's a fastball. You're diving. It's a breaking ball. You're timing up a fastball. You're way out in front of a changeup. There's reasons why, you're throwing changeups and fastballs and locations and sliders. You're keeping guys off balance. If you don't know what's coming, it's the reason why you foul the ball off or get jammed as opposed to hitting a double in the gap. If I know what's coming, it's a huge advantage. Huge advantage. But I do question in today's game, How you can steal pitches at second base.
But you don't think a lot of guys didn't want to know? Like, I know you were a guy, you wanted to go
for I wasn't good enough. I need to know everything.
So, but you think everyone liked it?
No.
There are players that said, I'd rather just go up there and work.
Yeah.
Another part of this, too, is we talk about Wood and Clevinger, and a lot of relationships are going to be fractured because people are going to be taking sides. And I would imagine, Lou, is a lot along the lines of when the steroid stuff amped up and when you were playing, and people are like, who did what, who said what, And relationships are going to be fractured across the board, and we're going to see that on the field sometimes and getting pitches in ear holes or whatever it is, but also off the field. It's going to be a weird, weird time, including, think about these anonymous sources for the Athletic story for the Red Sox.
Three of them.
Right, three of them.
Three different sources.
Guys who went through the World Series run for the Boston Red Sox. I mean, think about what that behind-the-scenes dynamic is right now.
Oh, the text threads right now amongst those players and the team trying to sniff out exactly who these guys were.
It's going to be a difficult year for the Astros right now, and it could very well be the same thing with the Red Sox.
Could get worse here for the Astros.
Right, barring, you know,
you wearing a buzzer, Jose Altuve? You got a buzzer on your lapel, as Chris Russo said?
Do you guys believe that, by the way?
No.
No, I don't either.
I do. I at this point,
you believe everything Carlos Beltran's niece says.
This week of baseball, why wouldn't you believe
it? I know.
No. Trevor Bauer, back in November, posted a video online where he went out there and said, "I'm going to a poker game tonight. I'm going to wear my lucky Band-Aid. I want to know what the other guys have in their hands. I want a lucky Band-Aid." Back in November, he said that. Not now, November. So whether they knew or not, whether it happened or not, these are guys that think it happened. As Pedro Martinez is nice enough to join us here, we'll get a headset on.
Petey in the house.
Crowd didn't cheer for Lou there. They weren't cheering Lou. They were cheering for Pedro Martinez.
I think they like your rant you just went on. That's what they
like
cheering
my big rant about Jose Altuve.
Yes, exactly.
Wearing something. Pedro Martinez here at Win a Weekend, everybody. All right, let's start it up. Do you want to break some news? Are you the new manager of the Boston Red Sox?
No, I'm not.
Aw, damn it.
Oh, man, it's so long. 162 games. Plus the extra hours that you have to put in to talk about players and meetings and all that, that's a little bit too long.
Get a weekly radio hit with Marloni.
Oh, yeah, you come on every week.
Every week with him.
You can be the pitching coach. You know, you just do more there. Beautiful.
It's the same.
Yeah, no,
it's the same. Being the pitching coach and being the manager is pretty much the same duties.
So I got to ask you. I think you were – I saw you on Twitter talking, because obviously we're talking a lot about what's going on in the game of baseball. And I think it was Carlos Peña who was talking about – I was just talking about what pitching is. Mm-hmm. You know, your stuff was so good, you could probably sit there, and maybe a couple times you did. You know, he said, "Here comes a fastball, I'll hit you." But there's a reason why you threw your changeup when you did. There's a reason why the breaking ball, the cutter, took a little off, or moved the ball around a little bit, because you're trying to keep them off balance. Huge advantage, if that is the case, of hitters kind of knowing what's coming, even for a guy like you, facing a guy like you.
Yeah, you know what? That's the mentality you have. You have to keep them off balance. You have to make them aware that you're going to go in at any point so that they don't get, you know, to lean over and reach two pitches that you pretend to get them out. And that's the mentality we should have. Now, if I was to figure out that someone was tipping signs or relaying signs, and I had it a couple of times where I felt like someone was relaying signs, and I just went straight over. Step off, got close to second, and said, "Hey, you keep tipping."
Did you ask him to hold it?
I told him. Yeah, I told him, "You're going to hold it."
Now, for everybody out there, when Petey says, "Hold this for me," he throws the ball, and he wants him to hold it right around here, right around the rib section. Kind of hold it. Hold it right
hold
here.
Hold it.
I'm going to throw it, and I'm going to basically hit you in the ribs.
Yeah.
But every once in a while, you got to keep a guy honest.
Yeah. What was your feeling when you saw the report come out, the commissioner's report? About just not only about the Astros, but about baseball in general.
You know what? I'm not surprised. First of all, I must say it. I'm not surprised. When you bring in analytics and you bring in technology and you bring in new people, new brains, new mentalities, you're going to have new things happen. I mean, everything is evolving. And when baseball started moving cameras to different angles to actually have the replay come into place and get the better views of the plays, it was expected that something was going to happen. You can see it in launch angles. They can see the angles on the bat better because of the positioning of the cameras. You can see that the analytics can see different things and analyze different things. And once you have all those things come in and join what the essence of baseball and what we had in baseball, you have to expect that new things are going to happen, because the people that invented the cameras and the angles and how to slow down the swings and slow down the rotation of the ball and read the spin of the ball, those guys are ahead of most of us. And they're going to come up with different things to figure out different things. And signs are obviously a lot slower than the spin of the ball. So it's going to come with
all those analytics. Now you rely on a trash can, though, hitting on a trash can. I mean, like, this is you're right, though, Pedro. I think that this is inevitable, and it was going so far down this road, and I don't know if you agree or not, that it was going to continue to keep going down this road if not for this.
You know, the kind of punishment I'm seeing from the commissioner is saying we are not going to accept anything like that to happen. He's trying to pretty much cut the problem at the roots. Mm-hmm. And that's why we're seeing such a severity in the penalties that we're seeing. But at the same time, you know, it will continue to happen one way or the other. If we continue to change baseball and add different things, technology and analytics and all that, it's going to continue to happen. There are so many brains that we have in baseball, so many new kids that know how to handle computers, yeah, cameras, every technology, that, I mean, it's impossible to stop them. Some of those kids are just great. They leave Harvard or MIT, and they don't even get their degrees sometimes. The Apple creator didn't even get the degrees,
yeah,
and he was able to do so many things. So imagine the new brains that are coming out of Harvard and MIT and getting a job in baseball to do different things.
I kind of compared what this was to, you know, the steroid era, yeah, and that the pitchers are like the clean players who played in that era, and they're like, enough. We need to clean this up. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to make a living. You know, you're trying to make a living. This is getting out of control. And I just feel like it's very, very similar in that the people who are doing it the right way, they just want to play by the same rules. That's all.
But you know what? Stealing signs and all that, it's been around forever.
Right, it's how they do it.
How you do it, how you hide it is the most important thing. It was part of baseball to actually be at second and relay a sign to a guy that wanted to know. Some guys didn't want to know,
right,
because sometimes they get more aggressive than they should and they swing a bad pitches or whatever. But it's been around, except that if you bring the technology into the game like you're bringing, you know, they're talking about instead of umpire robots to call the game, a strike zone by computers and all that. It's going to come. It's gonna get to a point where someone is going to be ahead of someone else, and, yeah, and they're going to jump ahead. And before you realize, it's going to be 1 or 2 years. And that's what happened. I think that's exactly what happened. Some of those guys figured out a way to beat you and pick your signs. And we weren't, you know, ahead of the pack like they were.
Well, that being said, Pedro Martinez joining us. Curt Schilling came out and said he thinks, based on the report that came out Monday, the Astros won the World Series because of this. Do you view their championship a couple years ago, Pedro, differently now? Is that a tainted title that the Astros acquired?
You know what? You have to look at the talent they have, too. They have a lot of talent. Whether they did it or not, whether they did it cheating or not, or it's tainted or not. I mean, I pitched in the steroid era.
Yeah.
And for me, if it wasn't because I did it clean and I was able to overcome what the steroid era was doing, I don't think I'll be perceived by the people with so much respect like I do. You know, to be honest, the way I faced my era is the way I wanted it. I wanted to face the best. I wanted to face the toughest. And I wanted to overcome all those adversities. And I did that. So today I can hang my head on my pillow and say, I'm proud of the way I did it. And I'm happy about the way I did it. If they don't feel that way, even though I still believe in the talent that the Houston Astros have, I'm not going to say that because I gave up a homer to whoever uses steroids, that because he was on the steroids, that's why he got me. I think I made a mistake, because when I didn't make a mistake, the results came over to my side.
At the height of it, though, when the steroid stuff is really kicking and you weren't using and you were dominating, but somebody hit a home run, at the height of it, did you get mad? Was there instances of getting mad at individuals or mad at teams saying, listen, I know you're cheating here, and you beat me today, and it just doesn't – you're taking the high road now, but when you're in the middle of it, did you feel like, oh, man, this no, I should not have to go through
no,
this?
No, I always said there's no crying in baseball. For me, I was very unique. I when I got frustrated and I felt like you disrespected me, I'll drill you. And I'll take the consequences later. And Lou had to go and get me out of the pile a couple of times. But at the same time, you know what? In the steroid era, which was almost completely the entire time I pitched in the big leagues, I was able to dominate people that were on steroids and people that were not. Because I prepared myself to not only face those guys in the steroid era, I didn't know that many people were using the steroids. But once I found out that they were using the steroids and I was clean, I mean, I my chest was hanging high because I said, you know, you were cheating and I was clean and I was able to do that to you. Well, I must have been well prepared for all that.
So you see these guys last year, throughout the year in spring training, there is so much paranoia. I feel like there's too much. They're worrying about too much stuff. Obviously, this is part of it, right? I mean, you see the hats. You watch the games. Guy pulls the hats down. They're changing sequences. How would you feel about pitching in this era when there's things other than what you really should be focused on and getting that guy out?
You know what? I was so disappointed. Every time I see someone ahead in the count and you don't know that you just have to kind of keep a guy honest or blow away a pitch, yeah. Waste the pitch to then come and make a quality pitch somewhere else. It's disappointing because it's lack of preparation, what they're showing. When you have to go to a hat, you're not ready mentally to do what you're supposed to do. You have 5 days to prepare yourself physically, mentally, and if you wanna say analytically, you could do that.
Yeah.
And then take it into the game. That's when you prepare before you go into the game. When you go to the game, you just repeat what you practice during the entire season, during the 5 days that you have before you pitch. If you prepare yourself, you should know who you're facing, what you should do ahead or behind the count. If you have to reverse the count on a guy, I mean, all those things you do, but in between outings. Mm-hmm. You don't have to do it on top of the mound. Oh, let me go to my hat and see what Gary Sanchez is going to call. No. There's no way. I need to be prepared. I need to know what team I'm facing, what kind of lineup I'm going to be facing, and what I need to do against each individual in the lineup.
So you're putting a lot of the accountability on the pitchers, Pedro. So I'm curious, are you upset that Mike Fiers put his name to this? He was the name that came forward and started with all this. Do you feel like he did the right thing? Because it sounds like you're preaching accountability and fight through it, and no matter what they're doing, you can be better than them. So do you have a problem with Fiers being eventually the whistleblower to start this entire investigation?
You know what? If he was to do it when he was playing for the Houston Astros, I would say Mike Fiers has guts. But to go and do it after you leave the Houston Astros because they don't have you anymore, that doesn't show me anything. I mean, you're just a bad teammate. You're just a bad teammate.
But he's standing up for other pitchers in baseball because he's now with the other pitchers. Pay. That's the point. He's trying to help the other pitchers now.
If he was dominant like Gerrit Cole, if he was dominant like Justin Verlander or someone like that, Clayton Kershaw, I don't think he'll be saying anything. He'll be like standing up like I am doing right here and saying, it doesn't matter what you do. If I execute my plan, I'm going to get you out, regardless of what sign they relate to you. Good pitches are not hit. Mediocre pitching is the one that gets hit. And
even if somebody knows what's coming?
Even if you know it's coming, I can throw BP to you. And if I hit the block away at 95, you're going to have a hard time hitting it. If I say I'm going in on you and I keep it 3 to 4 inches in on you, the best thing you could do with a fastball, that's middle in, not precisely like middle of the plate, but middle in at 97, 98. You have to react so fast that all you can do is pull it foul. When you get it in, you have to pull it foul. It's never fair. And if you execute away 2 inches or 3 inches where the umpires get confused, Lou, and you know that, and you go, God damn, I saw it a little bit away. Well, guess what? Tech frame it, boom, it looks so good, it's a strike. It's called a strike. So when you execute your pitches, you don't get hit. When you have mediocre pitching, when you make a mistake, that's when the hitters make a
mistake. But let me ask you this. Do you think is it good for the game to clean this thing up?
Because then it is.
But then you can look back to saving Fiers. You might not personally have agreed, but what he did has maybe helped the game move forward.
And where does he stand when it comes? If you tell me that Mike Fiers is coming to my team, mm-hmm. and you already threw your team under the bus, the team that you used to play
for. You think the A's, his teammates with Oakland, don't like what he did? I know what Houston. I mean, we know that.
Well, now everybody's going to know that you have a whistleblower in any other situation, too. Whatever happens in the clubhouse stays in the clubhouse, and fires broke the rules. I mean, I agree with cleaning up the game. I agree with the fact that the commissioner is taking a hard hand on this. But at the same time, players should not be the ones dropping the whistleblower.
So if you're in the middle of it, like you talked about, he should have done it. If he's going to do it, he should have done it when he was playing for Houston.
Yeah.
And you're in the middle of something that's you know is wrong and you know is negatively impacting the game. Then how difficult is it in that to be in the middle of it and say, hey, I just want to, MLB, by the way, come over here. I just want to tell you, we're doing this.
If you have integrity, you find ways to tell everybody in the clubhouse, hey, we might get in trouble for this. I don't want to be part of this. You call your GM, you tell them, or you call anybody that you can, or MLB or someone, and say, I don't want to be part of this. Or you tell the team, get me out of here. I don't want to be part of this. And then you show me something. But if you leave Houston, and most likely you didn't agree with Houston when you left it, and then you go and drop the entire team under the bus, I don't trust you. I won't trust you because we did have that rule. Whatever went across the border.
Did you ever have that, not to say that same situation, but when you guys were playing, did you have the thing that said,
well, when we were playing, it was a steroid era.
I was going to say, didn't guys play with the players who used steroids and didn't say anything because they were on their team? They want to air them out.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, you know, I guess back then, though, amphetamines, greenies were fine. Like, I took them. And they were legal, you know. We used, and that's the thing. That's taken baseball for years and years and years. So until those were illegal, but the steroids was different. But that's the thing. You never sat there and just said, yeah, these are my teammates at the end of the year. This guy, I suspect. We didn't do that, obviously. Some guys, but.
I mean, there was nothing, when you guys were playing, there was nothing electronically. There was nothing that you could use electronically.
Videos. I watch videos.
I bet you couldn't use it to, like, people weren't using the videos to help
you
them.
You didn't have, like, iPads they have in the dugout.
No. I prepared myself in between outings to actually see what I wanted to do against certain hitters. Like, I would spend hours with Billy Broadbent in the back watching the lineup for Toronto, for the Yankees, for anybody that I hadn't faced lately. The Seattle Mariners. I would watch every video. I would watch someone that was very similar to me facing that team and take whatever he did positively to actually use it in my game. I'll compare matchups. Whenever I saw Roger Clemens on 97, 98 blowing fastball by Gene Segura, I would just say, oh, okay, I got 97, 98. I'm pretty sure I can blow that fastball. By whoever.
But see, that's the same thing. Like you said, Billy Brown with the video guy back then. I used to do the same thing because when I, you know, I had plenty of time. So, like, to get ready to play because it was once a week. Right? So they'd be like, you got the lefty or whatever. So I would go, but I wouldn't watch how the lefty threw to Nomar or Manny. I'd watch him how he threw to, like, Mike Benjamin, right?
Exactly.
Or Lemke or someone, whatever. Someone, a little Punch and Judy guy who's hitting eighth and ninth. But it was actually tape cassettes, too. You know, I mean, it was old school, man. I mean, it was, but that was it. You know, that was it. And even during the game, we would watch. But what's going on now, I don't know if they're doing what they're doing. They'll clean it up because it's, you know, you want the guys to go out to at least playing on an even playing field.
Well,
it's like the steroids.
The guys got suspended here, Pedro. Guys lost their jobs, including Alex Cora and Carlos Beltran. Do they get jobs back in baseball again? Should they be allowed to based on, you know, what you read in that report? Guys like Cora and Beltran who were loved by the players they played with, and guys who played here in Boston loved playing for Alex Cora.
You know what? Alex took accountability for what he did. He thought that it was better for him to go away from the team to actually not distract the team. Alex hasn't been handed any suspensions or whatever. Not yet. I'm pretty sure he's going to get it.
Yeah.
What they are doing to Carlos Beltran, I don't find it fair. I don't find it fair. Carlos Beltran was a player at the time those things happened. It's totally unfair to sanction Carlos or take him away from a job because of what he did as a player. If I was in the dugout, Louie, and you knew that, and I could pick up the sequence against you, against Manny, against David, and I saw what they were intending to do with David and Manny, I would say just stay aware of the breaking ball with men on. This guy's going to flip a breaking ball to you with a man on. Why? Because I did it. Because I knew how to pitch. Because I understood sequences.
No, it's how you would pitch.
And so if I was able to pick up that, I would relate that to my teammates. And what Carlos did, he did as a player. It's totally unfair to take away his job based on the fact that he was involved in understanding the signs or whatever or how people were tipping. It's unfair. He was a player. He doesn't need to be sanctioned as a manager because of what he did as a player.
I think
if that's the case, all of you should be sanctioned. All of the players that went to second and related sign to every other teammate should be sanctioned.
Yeah, you know, and that's because they said it was player driven. We talk about the players got off, but one player didn't. Only one player was mentioned, and that was Beltran. So Beltran walking away from the Mets is sort of like Alex here in Boston. Like, listen, I can't, with it all surrounding me, I can't deal with it.
But you know why
they do that. I could never manage. But
you know what?
The union.
Can I tell you something?
They mentioned players union. No longer in the players
union. Can I tell you something? I thought Carlos Beltran, a lot of the things he knows about picking up on the guy, moving the glove, moving this and moving that. I know those things. I know when someone tips. I am a pitcher. I know when you're not precisely in the same position. I was really good at keeping my same approach, same positioning, not moving. Moving the fastball to the changeup on the way over so that I didn't tip. And a lot of us don't have the command
anybody,
to do that.
You think anybody had you? Because I know a
some,
guy that
some
told
guys
me,
got me.
Told me that he had you.
Yeah.
Robbie Alomar.
Robbie Alomar.
He's very good at it.
Bobby
He's
Abreu.
At it. Yeah.
Bobby Abreu got me. Who else? I think it was Teixeira and Chase Utley. They had
well,
me. Chase Utley was a thief.
Chase is a – no.
I mean
– no, listen, Chase Utley is another level.
Another
he
level.
Champ.
Another level. And I mean, those are guys that were able to relate whatever they knew to other people. And I did the same thing as a pitcher. I said, Carlos, look, when the guy does this, it's a fastball. When he does that, it's a breaking ball. And those are things that you look for as hitters, as pitchers. We are in the dugout just looking for little things to feed off.
Johan.
Hey, Louie, hey, he's going to throw you a fastball in this count. He gets down there, and that's a fastball. We did that. So if they are going to sanction Carlos Beltran for being a player and relaying what he knew, and that's exactly why they brought him over, because he was a veteran that could probably influence some of the guys to learn more about the game, and learn how to get an advantage on the opposition, well, then every other player should be sanctioned that actually related a sign from second, from first. Why do you think the Steelers is still on breaking balls? Because they see the sign and they pick it up. They pick up when there's a breaking ball coming. And so the Steelers take off on the breaking ball.
Yeah,
it's a slower pitch. It's most likely going to bounce. So they steal on those pitches. Because they see it. They can see it. They pick up. And that's why the catchers are always hiding. Because they pick up the signs.
See, and it's not the players would have been fine, I think, playing for Hinch or Cora or Beltran. It's the perception of it. It's the organizations having to sell their fan base, Pedro, on here's the manager. Oh, here's 11 pages. Because I think the players would have been fine with these guys, right?
Well, no. It's what Rob said, though. That Nicolos is no longer in the players' union. So when they started talking about the illegal things that Houston did, not the legal ones, you know, like you said, hey, man, look for this, look for that. Some of those illegal things, banging the drums. For some reason, yeah, they did. They included Carlos's name in that report. You know, they didn't just the coaches. He's the only player in that report because he's no longer a player.
I just mean
but I'm just saying, if Beltran is going to get fired, where's Altuve? Where's all these other guys?
I agree with
they
you.
They kept the players out of
but
it.
But I'm saying the current Red Sox team, the Mets team, and the Astros players would have been fine with those three guys. They didn't get fired. They didn't lose their jobs because they couldn't lead the players anymore. They couldn't lead the organizations because of what they were tied to.
I'll tell you what, though. I told you there's no crying in baseball, right? Houston, powerhouse, a stealing sign team, right? Looking at all kinds of analytics and statistics or whatever, and videos and whatever, stealing videos. Who won the World Series?
Nationals.
Where did they win all four games?
Yeah, Houston.
In Houston, Houston, yeah. Houston. Yeah.
Enough of excuses. Yeah. Enough of excuses. If you won, you won. If you lost, you lost. There's no crying in baseball. And it's okay. I'm not condoning bad things and bad people stealing videos or stealing signs or using technology. But at the same time, enough of excuses. Houston went into the Nationals and beat them three times, right? Mm-hmm. The Nationals came back to Houston and beat them four times mm-hmm. in their own house where they're supposed to be relaying signs and relaying videos. There's no excuses. If there's execution, yeah. that's what you need, execution. And that's what the Nationals were able to do, execute and beat the heck out of Houston. That's what you need. And why? Because they couldn't execute those pitches. And whenever they made those mistakes, the Nationals made them pay.
Hey, you know what I was thinking before yeah. we let you yeah. go here? Baseball's kind of – they brought this opener thing back. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think? An inning or two?
Oh, no.
You know, you can
– Oh, no, Louie.
Oh, you don't got to go eight anymore. You can just go an inning or two.
You know what, Louie?
One time through the order.
Louie, I was always – unless I came in relief as an emergency, which was the only way I would come in relief, I've been a little disappointed because when you see, like, an opener, one or two innings, and that's it, it was the starting pitcher. It was embarrassing to me to go out there for five innings. It was really embarrassing, and you saw it.
Yeah.
When Chris Corrente and everybody would tell me, oh, Pedro, you just went five and dive?
Five and dive.
Oh, boy, I couldn't eat. I couldn't sleep that night. When I went five innings and say I won the game, to me it was like, take it away. I was embarrassed to go five innings. Imagine now with the opener. Oh, the opener.
The highlight.
Come on now.
Now, Pedro, one quick thing about this year's team. The highlight of Winter Weekend up until this point, up until this interview, was Joe Kelly a few years ago predicting that he was going to win the Cy Young. I'm going to give you the opportunity to predict for Eduardo Rodriguez. Is he going to win a Cy Young?
Oh.
You know what? He should. Mm. He should. But there are so many other guys that are, you know, on perfect position to also win it. You know, I expect Chris Sale to have an outstanding year. Why? He got hurt. Didn't pitch as much. You know Chris Sale is going to be in the talk if he stays healthy the entire season. When he got hurt, it was unfortunate, but Chris Sale was showing that he could pitch well when he got hurt, and he was going to keep the same track. When you watch Chris Sale pitch and you watch David Price totally healthy, they're going to be in the bubble.
Yeah.
You watch those guys, and those guys, neither one pitch an entire season.
I think if they're healthy, people believe that they'll still be good.
I believe.
But the question is the health.
Well, I believe Chris Sale is going to come back healthy, and he's going to have an outstanding year. And I predict Eduardo is going to have another outstanding year because Eduardo now realizes what he needs to do. He has already endured the entire season and the 200-plus innings that he needs to win the Cy Young. And he was really close. He was right there. ERA a little high or whatever. And he didn't quite understand what he needed to do. But this year, he comes with a fresh mind, with a mindset that understands what to do to endure the 200 innings and the 33 outing yeah. plateau. I expect him to have a great season. And to me, if it's not Chris Sale, Eduardo is going to be really close to a Cy Young type of season. Even though, you know, you have to always think Gerrit Cole over there in New York and those guys like that are going
to
be in the
hunt. Now you got to walk up to him and apologize for telling everybody's going to win the Cy Young.
To who?
E-Rod, some expectations.
No. I think he has a very legit chance to win the Cy Young. But I have to always consider guys like Chris Sale, Corey Kluber being healthy, going to Texas. I think he's going to have another outstanding season. Those are guys that I always keep an eye on.
Yeah.
All right, you're not going to be manager in 2020. How about Jason Varitek? Could he manage?
Very good chance.
Very good chance
that Tech could be a manager.
Crowd.
We have a few guys that could probably become the managers. Ron Renick is right there. Tech could be a manager. Carlos Febles, believe it or not, yep. could be a manager. It all depends on how we view what we need to do. There's a lot of meetings between us that a lot of minds coming together. How are we going to put together what our players need to feel comfortable and feel like they can trust the program that we have for the next season? So we're going to meet. We're going to see what the probably the closest to the right thing for the team. And hopefully we'll be able to keep that balance that we have with the team, the good communication, the good loving that they have in the clubhouse, the good camaraderie that they have in the clubhouse, and the trust that they have in the clubhouse. That's the most important thing, that the players can trust what we're intending to do with them and what we want them to do during the season.
All right,
Pedro Martinez, everybody. Pedro, thanks, man, as always.
Pleasure.
Love talking to Pedro Martinez here.
Buddy.
We are at the Mass Mutual Center. Winter weekend. We'll skip the trending. We'll come back. We'll talk to you. We are live winter weekend. Mutt Bradford and Merloni.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
It's Winter Weekend at MGM with Mark Merloni and Bradford on Sports Radio WEEI.
Mutt Merloni and Bradford here at the Mass Mutual Center. Red Sox winter weekend. Pedro Martinez, his usual lengthy sit-down. And I mean, to me, the big takeaway from talking to Pedro, and there are a bunch of things to take away from it, but the headline is that he is in the Jessica Mendoza group. I mean, he thinks that Mike Fiers did his teammates dirty and views that as more of a knock on him than, hey, he put his name on it and push it forward. And that's why we went back and forth a little bit, because I give Fiers credit, because guys like Pedro pitched are upset with the guy. And I'm sure Houston is upset with the guy. But I think what he did overall was good for baseball. What he did for the Astros sucks, but it's for the betterment of the sport.
It's funny because it's very similar, because he does think it's good for the game, right, moving forward, just to kind of clean it up. And you know, again, it's like everything else. And it is so similar to, like, the steroid era in that we always talk about the chemists are way ahead of the testing. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, the wicked smart kids are way in front of baseball. The rule book, they are. So, okay, is it good? Sure. Open our eyes. Don't be so naive to think 5 years from now there'll be something else that you got to get your hands on, or something else you got to fix.
Lou, you're
he just doesn't like the fact that it's a player.
You're right on the money in comparing it to the steroid era, because there's tons of comparisons to draw from, including, by the way, what got people to get mad about the steroid stuff, got the Mitchell report going. What was the thing? It was the Canseco book.
Yes.
That was Mike Fiers is the Canseco book.
Yes.
And I'm sorry, but the steroid stuff would have been going down the same path that this other stuff it has been going down the last few years. Sometimes you just have to do that. And I understand what Pedro's saying. If he's going to say it in Houston, that's never going to happen. We get that. And I think
just because Pedro says it doesn't mean you got to.
No, no, but I
agree with him.
No, I don't
agree with him right there when he said it.
I don't agree with him. I don't agree with him because we brought up a case of, well, is there ever been an example of, in the clubhouse that you were in, of holding people accountable when you knew it was wrong? And obviously that's steroids. And you know this. I mean, you played in clubhouses where you knew probably guys were on steroids, right?
I know what you're talking about.
You knew absolutely who. I want you to name them all right now.
But, now.
Well, but I'm saying, you go back to like the days, you start talking about, yeah, I played with guys in my home team that did steroids. I played with 4, 5, or 6 guys. That's how Schilling found his ass in front of Congress.
Yeah.
Right. You know what I mean? Talking about it. Next thing you know, they're like, oh, really? You do? Well, why don't you come on in and talk to us? Tell us why. So a lot of people are like, nah, I know what you're talking about. You know what I mean? So that's why this stuff here is like, did you see it now? I forgot what it was. Somehow somebody wants to get an investigation, not a political.
In Chicago, some representative wants this to be
Congress got involved with steroids.
Something investigation. I get
yes.
Congressional investigation.
Yes.
That's
yes,
the word.
They're looking into that. They
well,
again,
one of the websites, PointsBet. They refunded everyone's Yankee World Series bets this last year.
Do you get all your news from gambling
websites?
No,
but I'm saying this is a legit thing. Someone's tweeting, Lou and I saying, can the fans who lost money on the teams the last couple of years, can they sue? This is legit. And now Congress getting involved. Here we go.
And we'll come back to it. None of it happens if it wasn't for fires, right? None of it happens. And you know, I'm with you, Lou. Like, we don't have to agree with everything. We love Pedro. We love how honest he is. But in this case, I don't agree with him because something needed to be said somewhere, some point, and it had to have an actual name on it. This couldn't just be like the Red Sox report. It has to have a name on it because now you have other people putting their name on it.
So that's the thing. So I wonder. I don't think the Oakland A's teammates are upset with Mike Fiers. Right?
Like, no.
I don't think Mike Fiers comes up to plate in a National League game as a starting pitcher and gets drilled. Now, I don't know. Maybe he does. However, I think Houston's in for a very interesting year. I think you could sit there week one, game one, and boom, boom, boom. Some team come out and drill three guys in a row. Said, now let's play some baseball.
Yeah,
we might lose, but you know what? Whatever. Wear it. Hold this for me, like Petey might have said. But I'm just saying, I think you could see. So the point is that players on the Astros might get that feeling, but I don't think people will with Fiers.
The thing about it, if you're on that one, Mike Fiers team, what are you upset about? Like, what are you upset about?
You know, first off, if you're on that team, you already know. Because he's already been talking about it
on Oakland.
He's already been talking about it privately. I guarantee Fiers is, from day one he left Houston, has been telling his guys privately. And I think maybe it just got to the point where it's like, you know what, I'm saying it privately.
Well,
screw it.
That's
well,
who you're
saying
they're
still
upset,
doing
like,
it.
Like, who's upset? Like,
No, I'm saying I don't see a lot of people being upset, but that's a great point because Fiers isn't the only one who left Houston.
No.
And so we are now using Mike Fiers' quotes for all of this. But you're right. Like, in those clubhouses of every single one of those guys who left Houston, they're sitting around talking about
careful.
That.
Yeah,
I thought you were saying.
No, you're not careful. Heads up. No.
Yeah, exactly.
Balls are flying.
But what you have throughout last year, take last year for instance, throughout last year, every team that went to Houston, certainly the Oakland A's, they're like, hey, you know what? They're doing this. We're heads up.
Listen,
for this.
It's a pain in the ass, but I still to this, if you are, and this kind of goes to what Pedro was saying, because I know the Nationals during the All-Star in the World Series said that they were prepared for this, right? They were briefed on it. And if you are prepared, then good luck. You're not stealing anything from me. I'm just letting it wouldn't happen. Like, it wouldn't happen because you're constantly changing it. You know, every third pitch, got nobody on base. We're doing multiple signs. We're changing it every year. There's so many different complex sequences that aren't that hard, and pitcher-catcher will do, and they'll move it around. But it's not about catching those guys. It's about catching the lambs. And that's why I don't think it's really the postseason. You know, how effective was it? I don't know, because everybody was really worried about it. But it's the Lambs. It's the bad teams. The teams that have no idea you're preying on them, right?
Yeah, sure.
And we know who they are.
Well, who had the quote? The unnamed Red Sox player had
deer.
The quote with Drellick. It's a deer and a lion. Lion gets a lot of deer. And then in the playoffs, it's lion against lion.
Well, I'm just
and
saying.
And that's the Astros-Red Sox series in a nutshell with the Picard report and the back and forth. The only knock is, and we'll get to a break here in a second, in the same Drellick report, two sources told Drellick they still did it in 2019. The Red Sox still able to work around that hall monitor back there. And some guys took autographs and sort of walked out of the room and said, oh, no big deal here.
See,
so that's got to be tightened up.
Again,
here.
The problem with that is that's harder for me to believe because they did have a system in place that wasn't in 2000. MLB having a system in place in terms of only having one screen and only having one person. And maybe they let a guy look the other way and everyone gathered around that one screen, which you aren't supposed to see from the side, and then did it that way. I don't know.
See, to me, it's like, you know, you put in that 10-second, was it 8-second delay? That can... Okay, that can end it as far as relaying stuff real time, but you could still use it to confirm. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You could still use it and sit there and say, okay, this is what we're thinking.
That's still that technology.
You can still look at it and say, yeah, he's still using it and go back inside. Or you can say, oh, no, he switched it up. All right, let me stick here. You know, I might not be able to do it live. Again, to me, there's such a fine line of what we've described as illegal and what's illegal, right? Like, you can't get that information live and transfer it live.
Right.
But before the game starts, I can have a 5-page report about what sign he uses, when he switches, what he goes to next. You know, I could talk about how the catcher, like, if I'm at second base, I think signs have gotten so complex that I think the only real benefit they can get if they're really good is location at second base and if the pitcher's tipping it. If the pitcher is showing you what he's about to throw, I can relay that to you. So, I just think the sequences have gotten so out of control. I think it's so hard to be 100% sure it's a fastball. You better be damn sure it's a fastball because I'm attacking it like it's a heater. So, you know what I mean? If it's a changeup, I mean,
yeah.
Then it's over. I'm done.
All right, we're going to spend another hour talking about this with your phone calls. We've had our guests for the show, great guests, including Pedro Martinez. The next hour plus, we'll be with you guys as well at 617-779-7937. And we will discuss the Red Sox approach in 2020. Live from Winter Weekend, Mutt, Maloney, and Bradford.
Back to Mutt, Maloney, and Bradford. Broadcasting live from Red Sox Winter Weekend at the MGM in Springfield on Sports Radio WEEI.
Live here at Winter Weekend, Mass Mutual Center, Red Sox fans milling around, getting Merlone's autograph, throwing fastballs, taking batting practice. It's a whole baseball amusement park here, Rob.
Listen, when Pedro
great
Martinez
sport of baseball.
Pedro Martinez calls you Louie. There were so many good drops. Chase Utley, he's a thief.
Well, I thought it was kind of crazy. We'll do phone calls here this last hour at 617-779-7937. Very guest heavy first couple hours of the show. But so when Pedro did his rant about Mike Fiers, which is very Jess Mendoza esque, he's better than not skill wise, but you know, what he was saying was very similar to what Mendoza said. The crowd cheered. Did you hear that? There's like 200 people here in front of us.
I think they were saying that because
they're all cheering the idea that they think that Fiers did something wrong because Pedro called him a bad teammate. The old sort of baseball doesn't know what trash cans unless Fiers steps forward. Guy's a hero. Put a plaque of him in Cooperstown.
Let's be real about that moment with the fans cheering here. If you were and I said that, nobody's cheering.
I disagree.
They're cheering.
You got some pull with the people.
They're cheering because I think Pedro is saying this. He's obviously, everyone loves Pedro's honesty and how pointed he is about it and taking a stand on it. I mean, I don't know if this is a 50-50 in the Mike Fiers conversation or not, but it's going to be a polarizing thing. And that's why I think you do get, when you have someone like Pedro saying it, you're going to get that sort of reaction.
Yeah, it's interesting. I wonder if other guys will start to speak out. Not many have. I mean, it's been pretty positive Mike Fiers' way so far, but when a player with the gravitas of Pedro Martinez speaks out against him, essentially, it might allow other people to react to it. When the tweets start coming out and the stories start getting posted on, you know, MLB trade rumors and MLB Network, here's Pedro's quotes, I could see some players responding and, you know, with the eye emojis or agreeing with it now that somebody like Pedro and not just Mendoza has stepped up and said it. So I will see what the reaction is like across baseball. But
once again, Mutt driving the narrative of the city. Yes.
Well, remember, a couple years ago, Rob, we set the dialogue for the city. We did two consecutive hours, no commercials, at this thing during the Bill Belichick, Mona Lisa Vito press conference.
That was maybe one of the most momentous days in radio history.
Joe Kelly, it was a Joe Kelly prediction day.
Joe Kelly predicted he was going to win the Cy Young.
And
Pablo Sandoval predicted he was going to hit 10 home runs.
He probably did. I think he hit 10. He hit 9 or 10.
Yeah. Where was that? Was that one?
Foxwoods.
Oh, Foxwoods.
Foxwoods.
We're going all over the place. But it's MGM now. That's what we're doing here. MGM's grand. It's just beautiful.
Yeah.
I like it out here in Springfield.
Yes. And so Mutt didn't go, Lou. Mutt didn't go to the Mona Lisa Vito press conference.
Nope.
Mutt and I were on the air right at the Winter Weekend.
Drove right to the Garth Brooks concert in a snowstorm right afterwards.
Mutt was like pounding the table. I am not going to break. You can fire me. You can fire me. I am not going to break.
It's a big day for the Fleetgate. Meanwhile, we should come back. We still have one more break to take here because Pedro was so long. I do want to talk about the 2020 season and the Red Sox approach. And we can weigh in on Alex Cora and the team and the cheating at 617-779-7937. But this can go one of two ways here because I think people view it like guys like me think the chance to reset And others suggest now with this bad PR, the Red Sox have to go all in for the season. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about Cora. We'll talk about the Astros, Jose Altuve. Final hour, Mutt Maloney and Bradford live here at Baseball's Winter Weekend, Red Sox Winter Weekend, MGM Springfield.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.